यदा हि धर्मशः ग्लानिर्भवति भारत। अद्युतानम् अधर्मशः तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम्। परित्राणाय साधुना विनाशाय च दुष्कृता। धर्म संस्थापना शंभवामि युगे। हरेर नाम केवलम्। कलौ नास्तेव गतिरन्यथा। कृष्ण हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम टू द वीकली कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस प्रोग्राम। एंड वंस अगेन आई वुड लाइक टू इनवाइट ऑल द लिसनर्स टू द हरे कृष्ण टेम्पल व्हिच इज द 1229 कोर्सफील्ड रिवरहेड हाईवे, आल्सो नोन एज हाईवे 28, वेयर एवरी संडेज वी होल्ड पब्लिक प्रोग्राम स्टार्टिंग एट 11:30 विद भजन्स एंड कीर्तन्स फॉलोड बाय आरती ऑफ देयर लॉर्डशिप्स एट 12:30। देन वी हैव अ डिस्कोर्स इन कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस फ्रॉम 1 to 2, followed by the Guru Puja of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we finish the day's program with Vegetarian Feast at 2:30. Please come along and join us and find out for yourself what is Krishna consciousness all about. Also like to remind you that today is Ekadasi, so please bear that in mind. I'll continue with the Ramayana story. Today I'm going to tell you about the discussions that went between Bharat and Ram when Bharat came to the forest to try and persuade Lord Ram to go back or return to Ayodhya. So let's see what happens. With the rise of the sun, everyone performed their morning rituals. They had already arrived in the forest and rested overnight. Now, this is the following morning. Again, they gathered together with the determination. Bharat troops were determined to convince the forest dwellers to shun the forest and return home. That's Ram, Lakshman and Sita. But the forest dwellers' determination was carved on stone. Right from the beginning of the conversation, Ram was grave-faced and Bharat was logical and well-planned. The previous day, both had a small taste of what was to come. But Bharat realized that being sentimental with Ram was useless. The only possible way out was presenting logical arguments. He had by now contemplated sufficiently to accumulate a series of logical arguments. Ram had realized that these thousands of people had come to push him into a corner, and with their emotions, logic and respect, and with intense love, he had decided not to budge an inch. Thus began the tug of war, or should we say, tug of love. With folded hands, Bharat began, "My dear brother, tell me, according to the course of Dharma, is one responsible for the sin that takes place in his absence? The fiasco in Ayodhya occurred when I was away. Is it not my duty to undo the wrong upon my return? My mother has received the kingdom from the king and has handed it over to me. Now it is mine and I am free to do as I deem fit. If the kingdom is really mine and I decide to hand it over to you, why should you decline it? This is not sin. Isn't there a legal provision for gifting one's property to another? My dear master, Ayodhya is like a dam that has been repeatedly and violently slammed by the waves of adverse emotions. Very soon, the dam will burst. No ordinary person can repair the damaged situation in Ayodhya. Just as a donkey cannot compete with a horse in a race, nor can a fledgling compete in the flight with a giant Garuda. A simpleton like me cannot match your maturity and foresight. As much as a tall fruit-laden tree is useless to a dwarf, the richly endowed kingdom of Ayodhya is too lofty for a short character person like me. The kingdom needs your principled guidance. We aim you to see your grace the kingdom mounted on a royal elephant. Bravo! This is exactly how we feel," chorused the crowd. Bharat smiled, hearing many ratifying his desired for in unison. Ram's voice instantly quietened everyone. It wasn't booming, it was firm but smooth. He said, "Bharat, you speak as if everything ordained to happen happens by your evaluation. Humans are merely destiny's puppet. Just as the puppet has the freedom to move as long as the string attached to it allows, a human being has the freedom to only choose a response to any situation that befalls him or her. Destiny, which is under the control of God, is the decider of good and bad fortunes. But humans can choose how to react to the decisions made by God. He can never really change the decision once made. The only permanent factor in this world is temporariness. Everything melts away in the course of time. Time is a deceptive magician with a sardonic sense of humor. Just as small children play with balls for enjoyment, time juggles with two balls, the sun and the moon. To the budding lotus of youth, time acts like a nightfall that closes it to the elephant of lifespan. It acts like a lion that reduces it. Except for Dharma, everything else in this world is temporary. Just like the wind tosses away a dewdrop from a leaf, the winds of time throws away the temporary things of this world. Therefore, Bharat, do not run after stability in temporary things. Look for holdings onto the permanent, stable things in life. Each day brings us closer to death, reminding us not to hold onto temporary things. Follow the direction of destiny and follow the path of Dharma as laid down by our Father." Bharat excitedly argued with his brother. Agree that everything is temporary and death is a leveler. But it is not also true that when a person comes close to death, he is bewildered and makes his greatest mistake. But as for our father, not only was he close to his death when he made that awful decision, he was also infatuated with a woman who influenced his decision. Therefore, I said that his decision was definitely faulty. Aren't children supposed to rectify the faults of their parents? Why should someone accept an insensible act blindly? Which sensible man would make such a decision just to please a woman? A sensible son would never follow the unrighteous instructions of his father. Don't you want to save your father and mother from the terrible consequences awaiting them? Ram smiled mysteriously. Not really, Bharat. This decision was made when the king was in his sense and not under any influence. It was nowhere taken at the time of his death. In fact, this decision was taken many years before our birth. What? How can this be? Bharat was now confused and literally groping for words. Sumant frowned hearing this statement from Ram. Where was this heading? He was hoping for the conversation did not head in the direction he saw it going. Ram continued, when he married Mother Kaikeyi, the king promised her father that he would appoint his son as the heir to the throne of Ayodhya. The marriage was sealed on this pact. No one knew this except King Dasarath and King Ashwapati, your grandfather. Of course, at that point in time, he had no son, and only if he married Kaikeyi would there have been a possibility of a son. But when we were born, the situation changed. That was precisely why he had wanted to coronate me in such a hurry, and that was why no invitation of my coronation was sent to your grandfather. But at the core of his heart, our father knew that the coronation would not occur, which is why he was so fearful from the day before coronation. The two boons that he had given Kaikeyi were not even part of this worry. So his worries before, because he had made a much bigger promise before that to her father. Therefore, I say, my brother, the king had made the decision to coronate you when his saint was intact. Ram's words shocked Kaikeyi. This was news to her. Why didn't her father tell her this? Why didn't Mantra knew this? To a certain extent, the guilt she was bearing for so many days decreased a little. She was not completely wrong after all. Sumant was the most shocked. Of course, he had known this story for long, and he had been guarding this little secret with all his life. How did Ram know of it? How he knew did not matter, but he knew that was the matter. For Sumant, there was no way now that Ram would accept the kingdom. Ram continued addressing this shocked gathering. The duty of children is to save the parents from hellish consequences that await those not fulfilling their promises. A son is called Putra because he is supposed to save his parents from going to the hell named Putra. You fulfill the promises of our father by becoming the king of Ayodhya and thus save him from hell. And I will, for my part, stay away from Ayodhya and fulfill the same promise. In addition, I will travel to Gaya and offer oblations for our father. Bharat Bharat, our father's decision is perfectly just and balanced. He has given you the kingship of humans as has given me the kingship of animals. The cities are meant for you to rule, and the forests are meant for me to rule. A white umbrella will shield your head, and green umbrella in the form of trees will shield mine. One of Sumitra's son, Shatrughan, will assist you, and the other, Lakshman, will assist me. I do not even see an iota of a glitch in our father's decision of property or of rulership. My dear brother, there are four gates to the door of perfection: peace, shanti, introspection, atma-vichar, satisfaction, santosh, and wise company, satsang. Desires locks the door called peace. Ignorance locks the door called introspection. Hankering locks the door called satisfaction. And misguidance locks the door called wise company. When these four locks are broken with determination, the door to perfection opens up. I urge you to introspect and accept whatever comes of its own accord into our life with satisfaction, and remain peaceful in the company of wise men. That's what I will do in the forest, and that's what you should do in Ayodhya. If we retain this mood, then whether we stay in the forest or in Ayodhya, it won't make any difference. Bharat had come prepared. Pat came his reply. The qualities that you mentioned are apt for an ascetic to possess. You may be dressed like a hermit, but how can you abandon your duties as a kshatriya, giving up prosperity and wealth and living in the forest? Is meant for the third stage of life called Vanaprastha, which scripture recommends a kshatriya to abandon his duties and take up the duty of someone else. Don't the scriptures say that it is better to do one's own duty inefficiently rather than doing another's duty perfectly? The first duty of a kshatriya is to protect the citizens physically from the enemies, emotionally from disturbances, and intellectually from weaknesses, and spiritually from wrong habits. If you don't rule Ayodhya, thousands will have no such protection. If you really want to live a life of pain, why don't you take up the pain of protecting the citizens? This is far greater pain than the pain of self-eliminating austerities. If you are willing to give up the forest life to abide by our father's words, then we suggest that you stay in the forest and rule Ayodhya. We have got all the paraphernalia for installing you as the king. Vasishtha and all the sages will install you in the presence of your subjects as the king of Ayodhya. At least you should not have reservations about this proposal. But if even this is not agreeable to you, then hear Bharat's decision. If you can be so insistent that you vow, I too can be firm with mine. As long as you remain in forest, I too shall remain. I never asked my father for the kingdom, and neither did I tell my mother to conspire on my behalf. Why should I then rule the kingdom? If it is ordained that one of the sons of Dasarath remain in the forest, let me be the son. I will replace you in the forest. Ram turned to Lakshman, who had by now turned purple with the shame and embarrassment of having doubted his brother's integrity. Lakshman could not meet Ram's eyes, but he continued staring at Bharat, with tears of appreciation flowing down his cheeks. Ram turned to Bharat and said, "As far as Kshatriya Dharma is concerned, where have I given it up? My mighty bow is always at my side to protect the needy. I will continue ruling the forest and maintain insanity and peace here. So, in a sense, I am not really abandoning my duty. One does not always need position and power to perform duties. As far as charity is concerned, once again, it cannot be reversed or changed. Then why speak of the charity of a person now deceased? King Dasarath's charity was clear and had many witnesses. We are in no position to change or cancel it. There are no order from the king that Bharat should live in the forest. You cannot replace me in the forest. Neither can I replace you in Ayodhya. Any modifications to the king's order is adharma." Realizing Ram's steely resolve, the citizens lost heart. They were simultaneously sad and happy. Sad that Ram would not return with them, but happy that they got to witness a unique kind of selflessness and extreme uprightness. "Enough! Stop this madness! Dharma, duty, righteous, hell, heaven, all this is nonsense. I'm fed up of hearing all this rubbish." Everyone froze at these words spoken with intense anger. All heads turned towards the direction of the sound of Jabali. It was pushing his way ahead to stand in front of Ram and Lakshman. "Life is a constant journey," he continued. "In life's journey, two people may spend a night in the same village. Only fools consider such time spent to mean eternal bonding. All relationships, including that of a father or mother, are transitory phases in this journey called life. The intelligent attach too much importance to the fleeting relationships of this life, of this world. Everyone is born alone and dies alone. Only a crazy fool gives more importance to relationship than one gives to the seat after the journey ends. The only thing that matters is how to minimize discomforts and maximize pleasure to live happily. Life is just a combination of this sperm and the ovum. One shouldn't give any more importance to relationship than this. The king has gone. So have his dreams and aspirations. Now you have to live your life with new dreams and new aspirations. Don't ignore the enjoyment that has walked into your life through the kingdom. I laugh at those who talk about future consequences of present actions. Who can ever seen the future? Who has ever seen the future? Who knows what happens beyond that? What we can see in is this. Is what we can experience with our sense here. Let us focus on enjoying the present and let thoughts about future reside in the mind of clones. What is in our perception is all there is to know. The concepts of dharma, consequence, renunciation, austerity, charity are mere gimmicks of clever men to induce fear in the minds of people to fleece them. Jabali continued, "These clever men induce the fearing multitudes to offer food to their ancestors, promising that it will reach them. Ha 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 ha. The fools believe it to be true. How can a dead man eat? So much food is thrown on the ground only to be eaten by animals and birds. Of course, the priests do become fatter. A priest verb of satisfaction, is that a sign that the ancestor is satisfied? If food offered here reaches another person elsewhere, why not use the technique to travel from here to elsewhere? Why don't we perform sacrifices for those who travel out of town? The existence of another world is a myth. Reality is what exists before our eyes. I pity those who devote their life to religion, and I appreciate those who live a life centered on pleasure. Don't take life so seriously. Listen up. Accept the kingdom that Bharat is offering you and enjoy your life to the fullest. Every word Jabali spoke ignited Ram's anger. He respected this sage who was in his father's ministry, hence did not want to react harshly without hearing him out. By now, things had reached a boiling point. Ram could no longer tolerate another word. We'll continue from there next Sunday. Please come along to the temple. Remember, it's at 1229. Revived Courseville Highway. We have the program starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans. Remember, aarti time is 12:30. It is very significant that we witness the aarti of their lordship. Come along, join us. Hare Krishna. Have some kirtan.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare